Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, are you ready for an hour of Penn State football talk?
Absolutely. Let's break down this UMass game. I think, we're going to look at the strengths and weaknesses of both teams, how the matchup could play out, and all of the compelling drama that will be homecoming 2023.
By the way, Jeff, I've been dying all week to ask you about that left guard situation for the Minutemen. Any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, solid, Jim. I think he's just solid, has a real understanding of what UMass is trying to do. And listen, the effort is there week in and week out, and that's all you can ask at the end of the day.
Jeff, every week I am amazed at your ability to handle that kind of question and do it with a straight face. I really am. We're a minute into the show and I already have to do a correction. Actually, instead of an hour of Penn State football talk, you and I will be on for 45 minutes. Then for our fourth quarter, you definitely want to see it. I've recorded it already. We have an interview with legendary Penn State field hockey coach, Shar Moret Curtis, who she is starting this new initiative called Teammates for Life. And I think you want to stick around for that, right, Jeff?
No question. And she really is one of the all-time great human beings at Penn State. And I just think her passion for the university as a whole and for the athletic department and her commitment to the young women who've come through her program, but also through the university. I just think this is such a wonderful spot for her to find herself in and to, retain that close relationship with the university. But I just can't think of a better ambassador for sports in general and women's sports in particular.
And I'll tell you what, I'm no expert on Penn State field hockey, but this interview gave me a chance to study up on her resume. Oh my goodness, Jeff, it's crazy. She was an All-American player. She was an Olympian. Her six Final Fours, about 9 conference championships. Just an incredible record. And it is so wonderful that now that she's hanging up the field hockey cleats, she still wants to help Penn State athletics and specifically Penn State women's athletics. So please stick around for quarter number 4 when we get the opportunity to speak to Shar. All right, Jeff, let's talk about those Minutemen. This is the Penn State game off of the bye week. And I'll tell you what, brilliant strategy. They've struggled through the years with that game after the bye week. What do you do to fix that? You schedule a glorified scrimmage.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I really don't know that when they scheduled this, they were anticipating UMass would be in quite the shape it is. I think the idea was to help kind of a new program try to continue to build it and grow. And I think, I really do think when Penn State scheduled this, I don't think they were trying to schedule a national title contender, but I think they were trying to schedule a team that they thought would be a bit of a test. And obviously this edition of the Minutemen has been very, very poor to put it kindly. And yeah, I do think for Penn State, this is not a bad situation at this stage of the season. And yes, coming off the bye week, get a chance to kick the rust off a little bit before the trip to Columbus. But I do think this is an important game, not so much that the result is in question, but I think Penn State needs to find some additional confidence and feel like everything is where it needs to be going into that Ohio State game. And you should be able to get that with Massachusetts, but I really think this is a game. I mean, James Franklin will tell you every week, hey, we're just focused on us. This week, I think they really need to go out and take care of business and, again, feel like they all are on the same page and ready to go for, again, the first of the two defining games of the 2023 campaign.
Well, that leads to the question, just how do you approach this game, Jeff? I don't want to use the word how serious do you take it. Obviously, the players on the field are going to take it very seriously and look to excel. But as a coaching staff, how do you approach it? How does the play calling go? How soon do you bring in the backups? How do you handle all of that?
From the playing time standpoint, to me, Jim, I think you at least go in planning to play the starters through that first series of the third quarter, and then hopefully if the game is playing out the way most of us are anticipating, I think at that point you get them out of the game. Hopefully you're to that stage of the game without any significant injuries or concerns there, and you get an opportunity to get a lot of the reserves significant and important playing time, and again keep the starters hopefully healthy, well-rested, and ready to go for Ohio State the following week. Game plan approach, I think, to me, the coaching staff isn't telling the players this, but to me, everything you're doing this week is with an eye toward Ohio State. Now, I don't know how much you unveil. I'm not exactly sure from that standpoint what it is you do from a opening up the playbook standpoint, but I do think it's hey, we've got to get the running game going. We've got to find some explosive plays. And I think everything you're doing at this stage, to me, has to be with an eye toward Ohio State and what it's going to take to get a much-needed win in that series the following week.
I want to look at a couple specific things in that way, Jeff, in game planning this UMass game. We learned from James Franklin's press conference, we're not going to just throw the ball deep, whether the receiver's covered or not, just to throw it deep, okay? We learned that. No. We are not going to do that. But is the game plan here to, hey, put more things on tape for Ohio State to look at, or is it to keep things off tape and save them for Ohio State? Let's start with that throwing the ball deep. Yes, James Franklin, he lectured us. He's not going to do it just for the sake of doing it. But if you're Penn State, are you looking to put that on film, Drew Aller throwing deep to people, or do you just not care?
No, I think you're looking to do that, and not so much that you're trying to force anything. For one thing, in this game, I mean, the matchups should be pretty doggone favorable for you, and you ought to have some open opportunities deep down the field. And I also think getting Trey Wallace presumably back and into the mix, I think kind of figuring out what everybody's role is here and, you know, the different ways that they can contribute is part of the equation for Penn State here on Saturday as well. So, yeah, I think you do take your shots deep in part because I think those shots will be available to you. But I also think you're looking to get the running game going, get some big plays out of that. And, you know, again, run your offense. I don't think you're looking, again, to unveil everything that you have in the playbook this week against UMass. But yeah, I think if you have a chance to show off Drew Aller's arm, yeah, you want to put that in the back of everybody's mind that, yep, this kid is who we thought he was in terms of the big time ability. And I think from the receiving core standpoint, with Wallace back in there, again, to me, Jim, this is an offense that does present some real challenges, not just for UMass, but for Ohio State and Michigan in terms of, hey, how do we try to handle the Nittany Lions? Because I do think there is that big play potential, the big throws, But I think this is a team that has shown, especially with Wallace in there. And again, I know it was a small sample size, but that they can, if you give us the underneath stuff, we'll take it and eat that up all day long. So I think the more you can put out there that opposing defenses have to worry about, the better off you are in terms of the stretch run here. And again, at least making other teams respect all of the different elements of the offensive game.
See, when talking about the passing game, Jeff, I'm almost, I'm not almost, I am of the mind, it's almost irrelevant what you're showing other people, Ohio State, Michigan, further down the line, as it is about just a confidence level for Penn State itself, for Drew Aller and his receivers. You know, the last couple of weeks, we saw so much of that, oh, miscommunication. The receiver cut in, Drew Aller threw outside. There have been those kind of miscommunications. And Trey Wallace has been out for several weeks. It's, I don't think it's important, obviously, for the outcome of this game for Trey Wallace to be in there. But I think it's critical for him to be in there for timing's sake and confidence sake working with Drew Aller.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys that can give you that big play potential with the passing game. And I agree with you. I think if he can go out and have a good game where, you know, he gets a bunch of passes his way and catches them. Again, what it does, one of the things it does is, okay, Ohio State can't, you know, just try to gang up on Keandre Lambert-Smith. Now, truthfully, I think even if they do that anyway, I think they're putting themselves in some danger. But I think, you know, this is a chance to kind of definitively show that, yeah, this is a multi-faceted offense that can beat you a lot of different ways. And I do think Wallace, I wouldn't have thought it at the beginning of the season. I think it's almost inarguable at this point that he is an important component to the offense and how it operates, both in terms of his contribution, but also how it gets everybody else kind of aligned with their, what I'll call their normal assignments here for the rest of the season.
Yes, and if you've been listening to me through the summer into the fall, I've been a huge Trey Wallace fan. I like him a lot. And it just felt like, you know, I keep reciting the numbers from that West Virginia game, 8 targets, 7 completions. That is what I want to see between my quarterback and my receiver. Jeff, we're going to pick up this conversation because apparently James Franklin agrees with me on his assessment of Trey Wallace. We'll get to that right after the break.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about the big game coming up between those Minutemen of UMass and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Jeff, when we wrapped up quarter number one, we were talking about Trey Wallace coming back. And I have a habit on this show over the years, I'm not sure if you've picked up on it yet or not, that I have certain things, certain thoughts that I really believe, and I'll keep hammering and hammering away. I'll beat that dead horse forever. And one of those topics is Trey Wallace. I just really think he's good enough. Before the season, I was even saying he might end up being the number one guy. But having him back out there, and I want to read the quote from James Franklin, who, when just asked about wide receivers in general, he picked up on Trey Wallace, and here was his quote. "I think getting Trey back is a huge piece of the puzzle. I think it helps Keandre. I think it helps Drew. I think it helps our team. It helps our offense. It helps Coach Yursich in calling the game." So apparently, James Franklin listens to our show. He listens to me, and he listens to how valuable I think Trey Wallace is. And I think part of it is, we've learned that Drew Aller is pretty good going through his progressions to find that wide open guy. And perhaps I'm overstating that West Virginia game, but it seemed like as Drew Aller went through his progressions, it was, okay, first man not open, second man not open. Okay, here's Trey Wallace. He is getting separation. So that concludes my argument for the value of Trey Wallace. How much do you agree with me, Jeff?
No, I agree with you a lot, and I don't think there's any question you could conclude anything other than James Franklin's clear devotion to this show and the thoughts expressed here. But I think when you look at the offense as a whole, again, it's not that there aren't a lot of good options here and that there's not a lot of other ways that Penn State can beat you. But having Wallace out there and the separation that I do think he is able to get from defenders, it does just kind of change the overall dynamics there for the offense. I think it helps get some of the other guys open. I think it helps soften up the defense a little bit in terms of creating even more of a seam for the tight ends or more of an opportunity for the running backs, you know, with the swing passes and that sort of thing. So, you know, I do think we talk all the time about football is just such a an integration of different guys doing different things, and they all have to be, you know, on point for a play or a drive to work. And I just think when you take a component out that is as important as I think Wallace is to this offense, it slows things down. And again, it wasn't like Penn State couldn't do anything offensively without him out there. It's just with him out there, I think they'll be able to do a whole lot more. And I think it, again, as James Franklin said, I just think it helps the entire offensive system operate more efficiently.
Let's shift gears a little bit to the running game. And Catron Allen came out of the game against Northwestern. Now, we have no idea the extent of the injury. There have been reports that he's been at practice, so that's at least the case. He had a bye week. Where the difference is for me between, say, he and Trey Wallace is there's so much timing and other things involved with Trey Wallace playing. Catron Allen, I feel like, you know what? If he's 1,000% ready to go, fine. Sure, you put him out there. If there's just one iota of doubt at all, you know what? Give him another week. It doesn't matter. You play Trey Potts more.
Yeah, I think for me, it comes down more so to, you know, is there a significant chance that he'll aggravate the injury or, you know, re-injure himself? And I think if that's not the case, again, to me, you've earned the opportunity. You go out and play. I will say the weather forecast is not exactly great on Saturday, and for me, that causes a little greater concern. And listen, I'm concerned for injuries in general. Again, the one thing you're really hoping as a Penn State fan coming out of this game is that you do get out of it without any further injuries. You never want to see anybody get hurt, obviously. But you certainly don't want to see somebody go down in a game that you know the outcome before it even starts. And with a game as important and significant as Ohio State is the following week. So I guess I'm kind of with you that, yeah, unless, you know, you feel like he's 100% and ready to go, you keep him out. But at the same time, again, I think, you don't want to miss an opportunity if you're a player to get out there. And if he's cleared medically, you know, I don't think you play him a ton, but But I think you let him get out there and, you know, have a drive or two and get the taste of playing outside competition again before you go into Ohio State. I will say the depth that at running back, you do feel really good about it. And I don't think if Catron Allen is out this week, or even if he's out against Ohio State, it's not like you have grave concerns about how the offense can operate. Again, it would be kind of like with the running game, same thing with Trey Wallace being out with the passing game, in that two things: it makes the depth a little less ready, and it does change the role a little bit. And again, you know, certainly Trey Potts has looked very, very good and very, very comfortable in his current role. And you just, again, for the team's sake, you just hope that everything is kind of firing on all cylinders here for Ohio State the following week.
Exactly. And it depends on the kind of injury. Now, there were no indications of this, even when they showed him on the sidelines, that it was that he was limping. You know, I'm going to use a sprained ankle as an example. That's the kind of thing that could feel 100%. But you can still end up tweaking it. An extra week is not a bad thing for that kind of injury. So I think that all fits as part of the equation. I just don't think, you know, strategically for the team, I want to see Trey Wallace out there. I want to, for Drew Aller's benefit, probably more than anybody else. But Catron Allen, I think, is a bit of a different story. Here's another one for you, Jeff. James Franklin has been threatening all year to get Bo Prabhula out there. We've got a package for him. We've got a package. In fact, one game he said they were almost ready to do it when he nixed it. You said earlier, if you looked at it, you thought you'll have the starters in for the traditional, they play the first half and they play the first series of the second half. Would you consider, with the starters in there, maybe we put Bo Prabhula in for a series in the first half? Again, you get it on tape. You give him an opportunity with the first team when it's not a complete blowout, when it still quote-unquote matters.
Yeah, I think I could argue that either way, and I'm fine either way. I don't think it's something that man, you've got to do that and get it out on tape for Ohio State, or else, you know, the Buckeyes are going to be a leg up on you. I also don't think it's going to hurt a doggone thing to just save it if you decide you're going to use it in Columbus and unveil that particular component for the first time there. I think that's fine. I think there's enough out there, to be honest with you, Jim, that I don't think it's a great secret that Bo Prabhula is a pretty doggone good quarterback and brings, you know, a dangerous running element to it. So it's not as though if you know, he doesn't do that, that Ohio State is just going to go into that Penn State game. Well, we don't have to prepare at all for the backup quarterback. We have no idea what that guy could do, and we don't think he's going to be in the game at all. I mean, I don't think you know, there's any great advantage to putting him out there. Now, maybe, again, you throw another wrinkle or two in there just that Ohio State has to get ready for. That makes some sense. Again, I'm probably fine either way. I'm not passionate that Penn State needs to or not do something either way here in that regard against UMass.
See, here's the difference between you and I, Jeff. I look at this completely as a fan. I just want to see it, you know, not to hide something or show something to Ohio State, but just as a fan, I'd like to see what the offense looks like with Bo Prabhula. No, I'm not looking to create a quarterback controversy. No, I don't think they need to share reps. And James Franklin, I think, has done a pretty good job of leaving the first team in with Bo Prabhula that first series when Bo comes out to play. But still, I think there's something a little different about playing in the first half as opposed to when the game has already been decided. And I would like to see it. I would like to see what that looks like, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but I'm okay if we see it against Ohio State when it goes for a big touchdown that breaks the game open.
Yeah, well, hey, that's a nice perspective there also. You know, we've talked quite a bit, Jeff, about the offense, and it seems like a discussion of the defense almost feels unnecessary. And you go into a game like this, it's just sort of, hey, guys, more of the same.
Yeah, it's hard to envision a scenario where Penn State doesn't dominate this game defensively and, you know, UMass has paltry numbers. I don't know that even UMass will be as paltry as Iowa was at the end of the day. We'll see. Now, part of that is going to be, obviously, you're expecting Penn State to get a lot of different guys in there in the second half in particular. On Saturday, although really they get a lot of guys in there regardless. So that's, but I, you know, I think they're going to get a little more down the depth chart this week than usual. But yeah, I think this defense right now, it's just about, you know, continuing to build on what's there. The thing that I think I feel great about with this defense right now is they're, obviously, they have the athleticism. I don't think there's ever been any debate or concern about that or debate about it. But I think now they all have that understanding of what Manny Diaz wants to do and the different ways he can utilize them. And I am excited to see what Penn State comes up with for Ohio State and then down the road against Michigan. Just scheme-wise to keep those offenses off track a bit.
Very good, Jeff. That is it for quarter two. We got more to go. Stick with us.
Hey, guys. This is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about this matchup this weekend, Penn State versus UMass. And Jeff, just one or two last thoughts on this game. We were talking a bit about the defense, and again, it'll be, I'm sure, a little bit vanilla, but Manny Diaz will still do what Manny Diaz does. They'll be aggressive. They'll show different fronts. They'll go after the quarterback. I guess my last question on the defensive side, with this opportunity to get more guys in and have a more prominent role, as you point out, they do get to play a lot. Are there any specific players of the young group that you're anxious to see more of?
No, you know, I've been impressed with the way they have utilized the kids they have in different spots. You know, I think that they are doing a good job of bringing some of the kids in the secondary in particular along, and certainly the linebacking core as well. I do think this is one of those games where, you know, you're at least hoping in the second half. Again, you can work your way down the depth chart a little bit and get some guys that have not had significant playing time this year the opportunity to get out there in front of the crowd and at home be able to showcase their skills as well. You know, the other thing that I do think is going to bode well for the defense, and not that they need the help, but Massachusetts with a wet field and a wet ball against this group and the aggressiveness that the Nittany Lions have, I mean, that does not feel like a really good recipe for offensive success here for the Minutemen.
Okay. Well, one other thing note for this game, Jeff, is they're going to be wearing their Generations uniforms. Am I the only one who absolutely loves those?
No, I like them. I like them a lot. I think that I like anything that is a little different if it's not overdone. And I think doing this, once a year is a neat opportunity to kind of pay respect to the heritage. And I do. I like the uniforms. I like the look. So, no, I'm with you. I'm on board.
My one suggestion is these are cool. I like these uniforms. I think they should have one game a year also where they do the anti-Penn State theme. Just go absolutely crazy with a modern Oregon-ish type uniform. Just do it once a year. Maybe then they, you auction off the jerseys for charity or whatever. But I think that would be fun. I might be sacrilegious to say that as a Penn State fan, but I'll put it out there.
Yeah, right, as Jim. A traditionalist, I'll say, I now you've gone too far, Jim. Now you've gone too far.
Well, I don't think it's an idea that will catch on, but maybe I'll just chip away at it. Every year I'll convince another person, and who knows, maybe in about 20 years or so, they'll actually do it. But before we go on, because I do want to ask you a little bit about the press conference that James Franklin had this week and a couple of the highlights that came out of it, I will ask you for your prediction for the game. The spread, it was 42.5. It went to 43. Last I looked, it was 41.5, which I think is because of the weather. Jeff, give me your prediction.
No, I think it's the big Amherst money coming in, Jim, and the folks in UMass are all in that they'll keep this to within 6 touchdowns or 8 touchdowns, whatever it is. Anyways, I think, it's hard to bet against Penn State covering right now, right? I mean, that is a lot of points. And, yeah, I do think this is going to be by the end of the game, a pretty sloppy field. And I do think Penn State is going to get a lot of different people in the second half. So while it will not surprise me in any way if Penn State does not cover the spread, again, until they don't cover the spread, I'm kind of the mindset that no, it's just what they do. And I do think Massachusetts is going to have a really hard time, even against third and fourth string Nittany Lions being able to mount much of anything offensively. So I'll go that Penn State just does cover, and I'll call it at 52-7 Nittany Lions.
In fact, Jeff, I think that's the exact number that I used out there also. And I, as someone who has been riding the Penn State train and is unbeaten betting on them through the season, yes, you stay on it until they show they can't. And the thing that I bring up always when Penn State's a heavy favorite is James Franklin will not typically take his foot off the pedal at the end of the game. He has his backups in there, but he allows them to keep trying to score, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think I think is the right thing to do. I think you've got to get these guys ready, and you get them out there. They want to be out there playing, which makes again to me a ton of sense.
Right, let them play. That's part of the experience instead of just letting them, run out the clock. All right, Jeff, I did want to hit this. We hit it pretty hard on our previous show with Andy. I even played the clip from James Franklin responding to the question about should Penn State be throwing deep just for the sake of throwing it deep, even if the player is covered. It was not, the question was not worded very well, but I do think there's something to the question.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it was one of those. I don't think it was quite phrased the way it probably should have been, because yes, that made it sound like, well, if you have two receivers out and they're both, triple covered, you just throw it anyway. And obviously that's not going to be the case. Listen, I do think Penn State needs and will take some shots downfield, but That being said, listen, if Ohio State and or Michigan come out and they're like, listen, we're taking that deep threat away and the underneath stuff is there all day. Again, why would you force something when you have something readily available? And this team has shown, albeit not against the caliber of defenses that Ohio State or Michigan have, but they've shown an ability and a propensity, really, to put together long, sustained drives. And so if that's what you need to do, and in some ways, truthfully, Jim, I think that would be better if you're able to do it, and that is a big capital I, capital F. But, right, you'd rather have like an eight-minute drive that keeps the Ohio State offense off the field and results in points than – you know, a one-minute quick hitter and gets your defense right back out there as a general rule. Now, at the end of the day, you're going to take a touchdown any way you can get it in those games. But, yes. Do I think Penn State needs to develop more of a big play mentality? Yes, but I also think that's just naturally going to happen and that those opportunities will be there in the coming weeks, including against Ohio State and later Michigan.
Jeff, I'm never going to be upset with a quarterback throwing to an open receiver, okay? And they have shown they could sustain those drives, make it all the way down the field. You know, my issue with the conservatism is the, you know, if you're reluctant to throw the ball on first down, we're going to, you know, establish the running game no matter what. And again, I think that they've done through the first so many games has been them just being a little bit more vanilla than anything else, not really needing to do those other things. And it has ended up with those 15 play drives. And you've got a quarterback who has shown he's risk averse. He's not going to throw interceptions. He is accurate. Yes, I have no problem with those kind of drives. And if you know, throw to the open receiver. The other issue that came up, and this was James Franklin was asked a bit about scheduling. He talked about Michigan without saying the name Michigan. And I think it was a little bit misinterpreted. As soon as you mention another team, it could be interpreted as being critical. Oh, this other team has canceled games. When the essence of his answer was essentially, yeah, we're going to schedule cupcakes too. I mean, he's made it pretty plain after playing Auburn, we're done playing that kind of game against a Southeast Conference foe. So, but he found himself having to come back on and say, hey, I wasn't being critical. That's just the strategy. You've got a schedule to try to make the playoffs, Jeff.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, he's absolutely right. Now, as a fan, I'm not happy about it because I like seeing those big interconference and intersectional games. But I think by and large, by and large, they've gone by the wayside as it is. And certainly, I think moving forward with these bigger conferences and obviously presumably the overall quality of conference play is going to go up even from what it is now. It makes perfect sense. You want to get to 3-0 in the non-conference schedule. And that at the end of the day is probably as important as anything else. I do think that's exactly what James Franklin said, is that this is the way of college football with these conference realignments. It doesn't really make sense to go out. Like, why would you schedule? I mean, this isn't exactly what he said, but I mean, that, to me, this was the kind of the gist of what he was saying is why would you go out and schedule in Alabama when you already are facing the likes of Oregon and USC and Ohio State and Michigan in your conference? And with the expanded playoffs, you now have an increased likelihood that you're going to see an Alabama or a Texas or whatever in your season, in the postseason anyway. So, to me, it ended up being much ado about nothing. I truly don't think there was any intent to criticize Michigan. I think the point was, listen, this is the standard bearer at the moment for the conference, and this is the direction that they're heading. And it's the direction we all need to head, because this is what you do to try to compete for a national title.
I think the unspoken part to it was, and this I really agree with, you've got the Southeast Conference right now only playing 8 conference games. The Big Ten is playing 9. Why put yourself at an even greater disadvantage? And James Franklin has talked about make it standard throughout the country. All right, Jeff, that's it for you and I. Coming in fourth quarter, make sure you stick around for it. We have Shar Murekurs coming on. Stick with us.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number 4 on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to this Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with our very special guest, Shar Murekurs. Shar is the recently retired Penn State field hockey coach. Welcome to the show, Shar.
Jim, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about Teammates for Life.
Well, I am too, but before we do, I just need to introduce you to our audience, let them know what you're all about. You were an All-American player at Penn State. You were an Olympian as a player. You then returned to coach Penn State, 6 Final Fours, 9 conference championships. You know what, Shar? I could spend this entire segment with just accolades from your playing and coaching career. But as you mentioned, we have you here to talk about Teammates for Life. This is a new initiative started by Penn State. Could you tell our listeners all about it?
Yeah, Jim, you know, I'm so excited to be a part of this Teammates for Life initiative. When I retired back in February, I went to Pat Kraft and, you know, wanted to let him know that I was ready to hang up my coaching hat, but I didn't want to be done with Penn State. So, you know, he relented a little bit on the coaching side, but said, you know what, Shar, that's great. I want you to come work for me. And I said, Pat, I know exactly what I want to do. And he said, what's that? I said, you know, I want to start a women's athletics initiative. And I feel that it has been done in other universities, and it's time for us to be starting one now. So he said, Shar, sounds great. It's in your hands, you know. So I was able to put together, you know, a committee. You know, it has women that have expertise and skills in so many different areas, and we just dug down and started back in March. And 6 months later, we were able to launch our initiative at the end of August. So there is a site. There's a, you know, a site on the Penn State website that, you know, people can go to and see. But so far, it's just been everything positive.
And just to give a reminder to our listeners where you could go on the website, it's gopsusports.com. Go to the athletics tab and you will see Teammates for Life. Tell us a little bit about what are the goals for this initiative, Shar?
So, you know what, Jim, I really looked at like how we can leverage our alumni base. We have the best alumni, you know, base in the entire world. And, you know, the men have always done a great job connecting with each other, you know, after colleges. And I just feel that we need to tap into our, not just our female athlete alums, but also all our female alums from Penn State that have accomplished so much. So really what we want to do is we want to engage our student athletes with each other while they're here on campus, so they get to know each other after they graduate. So we want to do a horizontally, like get them networking together. Then we want to reach out vertically to our alumni base and our female athletic alumni base and talk about how we can bring these student athletes to your corporations, to your businesses, to your expertise. We know that Penn Staters are everywhere and everything. You know, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're, you know, surgeons, that they're now CEOs. So we want to really make sure that we can connect our current student athletes with our alumni base to help them with their career development and their career path and just build a community. We are looking to build a community of Penn State women that can help each other, women helping each other. That's really what this is all about, is building relationships while they're at Penn State and beyond.
And it sounds like a big part of this are the alumni, the female alumni from Penn State, many of them former athletes at Penn State. What's been the response from that group, the women who have graduated from Penn State and who are out in the working world right now? How have they responded to this?
Resounding, how can I help? How can I help? I want in. You know what we did? My first thought was we have to let the women on campus and in our own community know what we're about to build. So that's all about building the relationships. So May 24th, we had an event on campus. We sent an invite out to our campus women leaders, our community female leaders, and we said, hey, come take a look at the sneak peek of what we're looking to build in the next coming months. It's going to be long lasting. And so, like I said, we invited these women. We had 90 women show up at Beaver Stadium and just let them know, like, hey, we're all about engaging women, elevating our student athletes and connecting them. And then we just went through, you know, the different ways we're going to do this with career development opportunities, with bringing top speakers onto campus, with starting a mentorship program, with philanthropy. And when we had those 90 women that night, everybody signed up. They want to help in any way possible, even if it's just going to a game and supporting the women's soccer team, women's volleyball, whatever it may be. And so we've had just an amazing, I would say, enthusiastic group of women that want to jump on board. Sue Paterno was there. The next day she called me right away and she said, you know what, I want to help sponsor this. I'm going to write you a check. And so when you have a woman with Sue Paterno's presence and you see her support in so many other areas of our Penn State community, it's a very powerful statement. So we've got some women that are, you know, really heading this initiative. Susan Robinson is helping us, Elizabeth King, Lee Beard. You know, Elizabeth was head of HR with Starbucks out at Seattle. She's a former softball player. Susan Robinson, we know, is a, you know, prominent women's basketball player, won the Naismith Award, is like the top female basketball player in the country. Mary Beth Schmidt oversees really a lot of our branding, broad content development, and she's a Penn Stater, worked with Graham on his book. So we've got women with a lot of skills. Mara Pilowitz is another one. Her two sons played sports here, ice hockey and baseball. So we have a small committee, but it's been the outreach has been amazing.
Well, when you're going into the pool of Penn State alumni, that's a pretty big pool that you're going into and a lot of opportunities. So tell me, have you already had some events? Have you had speakers? Have you had some of these alumni interact already with some of the current student athletes?
You know, we haven't been able to do that yet. We have the first thing we did was the event that I talked about in the spring, getting the women's, the leaders from campus and the community. Then this summer, we got the student athletes that were on campus. A lot of them were freshmen that have come in to start, you know, their careers here. And we talked to them about what we wanted to start and how we want them to be involved. On November 10th, we are going to have a luncheon. And we're going to have Jamie Perot come in. She's a hedge fund manager in New York City. She was a former lacrosse player. And she and Jen Farang are going to be running our mentoring program. So they'll be speaking at that luncheon. We also have Jen Burtis, who is a former women's volleyball player. She was on American Ninja Warriors for 2 years. She is just...
Oh, wow.
Star. Yes. So she's going to come in and work with our student athletes, do a mindfulness and almost like a regeneration exercise with them on Thursday night, the November 9th. And then she's going to do it with our community leaders on November 10th. And then we're going to go to the luncheon. So that's the first big speaker series that we have coming up.
Wow, that is fantastic. Now, on the receiving end of this mentoring, it is the undergraduate students, the female athletes. How have they responded to this? And have they given you their thoughts, their ideas of this is how I can be helped with this?
You know, I think they were so inspired when we met with them in the summer. We had Carolyn Keeger and Erica Dombach get up in front of them and talk to them about how important this is going to be for them while they're here on campus and how more important it's going to be for them after they graduate. We want to start you know, connecting with women where we can get our student athletes to do internships with them, spend a day in New York City. We had a woman, Erin I'm going to mess up her name, and her name, Olachek. We met with her in New York City. She spent 9 years running NBC Sports in Stamford, Connecticut. And she said to myself and Mary Beth, I want to bring your student athletes and even the students from College of Communications to our studios and show them around, show them how we all network within NBC, and hopefully inspire them to want to be a part of that. So, you know, we really want to hit home with our current student athletes to make them understand, hey, this is a program that they're going to want to be involved with as a student athlete now, and then embrace it again once they graduate. So they may be a mentoree today and a mentor tomorrow.
Kind of complete the cycle, right? Now, Char, why is this so important to you? Now, you spent a lot of time at Penn State as a student athlete. You came back as a very successful coach. We realized that. You talked about telling Pat Kraft this is what you really wanted to do. Why was it so important to you?
You know what, Jim? I've been so blessed. You know, I tell the story that, you know, I was sixth in line of a family of seven, five brothers and a sister, and none of them before me had gone to college. And Penn State was able to offer me a scholarship coming into school my freshman year. I'm not so sure that I would have been able to afford that, you know, in 1975. So just then the way Penn State, my coach, Jillian Rattray, mentored me and women like Ellen Perry and Della Durant and Marty Adams, you know, those women mentored me as a female student athlete back in the mid 70s. Title IX had really just been enacted, but no one was really twisting anybody's arms, you know, with that. Fortunately, Penn State had the vision. They really, you know, went right to the top and said, we're going to support our female student athletes with scholarship money, with facilities, with equipment, with coaching. So kudos to Penn State for having that early vision. So now for me, I want to give back. You know, I want to be able to do for our current student athletes, our coaches, our alumni base, what was given to me. I'm so honored and humbled that I had this opportunity to come to Penn State, first of all, as a student athlete, second of all, as a coach, and now to come back and lead a program where we're going to continue to foster opportunities and develop them, elevate, engage our student athletes after graduation. You know, I'm so blessed that I retired. I left something that I loved and was so passionate about, and it wasn't easy, but it became easier because I knew that I was going to segue into something that I love and that I'm so passionate about. So I don't feel as if I've ever stopped working one bit. This has been fun for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. And just the half minute or so that we have left, tell our listeners, if someone from the public, a Penn State alum, wants to get involved, wants to support the program, how can they get involved?
You know, they're with our mentoring program, with our speaker series that we're going to have, just helping support tailgates at away games and just getting them to cheer on our student athletes while they're here. You know, they can either find me on cxm12@psu.edu, go to the website. I'm sure, you know, they can connect with us there. There is a link there that they can email there's an email there where they can send responses in. But our arms are wide open to everyone.
Very good. We'll make sure from our standpoint from Keystone Sports Network, we'll put out some of that information, what the Twitter handle is, where they could find you on the GoPSU Sports website also. Char, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. It's been fun.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are